A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Sukkah, Mem Vav, Sukkah 46a, pagination, page 91. We'll start in the wide lines from the second wide line. And we're clarifying different aspects of brachas regarding the Yom Tov of Sukkot. So the first item that we want to clarify is the bracha that we recite al natilas lulav, on taking the lulav, because the mitzvah of lulav is really divided the way we do it nowadays, as we've discussed. Ulakachtem lochem bayom rishon, on the first day, it's a deoraisa, it's biblical, even out of the Beis HaMikdash. And on the rest of the days, it's really rabbinic because of the takana of Rabbi Yechonon ben Zakkai to remember the Mikdash. Of course, the second day of Sukkot, we can discuss what status does it have, because it's Sveika de Yoma, we're keeping the second day Yom Tov because it's a sense of doubt whether it is the first day, but certainly by the time we get to Chol HaMoed, we're making a bracha asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu, that Hashem has commanded us to take the lulav. And the first reaction would seem to be, Hashem didn't command us to take the lulav on these days. In the locale that I am in, there is no biblical mitzvah to take the lulav. And why are we allowed to use the word v'tzivanu, that Hashem has commanded us? The Gemara addresses this fascinating question in a number of places. Our daf is one of them. The same question applies regarding the menorah on Chanukah, where we say, Asher kedushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu l'hadlik ner shel Chanukah. It applies by Megillah on Purim, Asher kedushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu al mikra Megillah. We're saying Hashem commanded us. Hashem didn't command us. The rabbis commanded us. And over here also, the lulav during the remaining days of Sukkot, how do we use the word vitzivanu? And the Gemara answers here on the second white line, vitzivanu lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. Ask the Gemara, veheichan tzivanu? Where were we commanded? And the Gemara answers, milo sasur, because there's a pasuk in the Torah that gives the rabbis authority and tells us, lo sasur, you should not deviate from that which they instruct you to do. And therefore, from the pasuk of lo sasur, we're being told, a little bit like if the king told you to listen to the ambassador, listen to the governor. So you are listening to the king when you listen to the governor. A parent walks out of the house and leaves a babysitter, and the parent says, please behave for the babysitter. So when you listen to the babysitter, by extension, you're actually listening to the parents as well. Let's skip down to the fifth wide line, and we'll be introduced to two other brachas that pertain to the Yom Tov of Sukkot. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned, Ha'osa sukkah la'atzma, when a person makes a sukkah, Omer baruch shehechiyanu, he would recite the bracha of shehechiyanu. Now, we do not have the minig to make the bracha of shehechiyanu when we build the sukkah. We'll clarify that in a moment. But keep in mind that our Gemara is inferring that building a sukkah is a significant enough mitzvah that you would actually recite a bracha of shehechiyanu, that it's a significant moment that you're building a sukkah, where it really deserves that type of comment and attention, because one might think that building a sukkah is really irrelevant. It's a nothing. We mentioned that a sukkah that's built by people who are not obligated in the mitzvah, or people who are obligated in the mitzvah but have no intent for the mitzvah when they build it. They're building a hut because they need the shade. So we discussed sukkas ganvach, those types of cases, and we said it's still a valid sukkah as long as they put it up for shade, that the schach was put in place to provide shade. So one very well might think that building the sukkah is really just a hechi timtza. It's just something you need to do in order to have a sukkah, but there would be nothing wrong if you didn't build the sukkah, and there would be nothing positive if you are building the sukkah. But our Gemara is clearly indicating that there would be appropriate a bracha of shehechiyanu. There are poskim who infer from here that it's improper, or you're missing out if you have a shaliach, a person build the sukkah on your behalf, because mitzvah bo yosem bishlucho, always better for you to do the mitzvah personally if possible. Likewise, if you have a ready-made sukkah, or you have the opportunity to build a sukkah, according to this logic, one should opt for building the sukkah. A prefab sukkah would seem to be no problem, because you are building it. When we say prefab, we don't mean that you take the existing sukkah off the back of a truck and put it in your yard. I'm talking about that it just snaps together very quickly, but it's certainly not a sukkah until you snap it together. And that would seem to be perfectly including the positive aspects that are being discussed here of building a sukkah. In any case, there's a bracha, Baruch Shehechiyanu, which the Gemara seems to say was recommended to be said when we build the sukkah. We actually make it at the time of Kiddush, as we'll see in a moment. The end of the line. Nichnas leishevba, when a person comes in to sit, to dwell in the sukkah. Omer Baruch Shehechiyanu, and it's understood from other Gemaras that it's b'mitzosav etzivanu leishev basukkah, that the bracha that we're reciting is on dwelling in the sukkah. Now, it's worthy of mentioning that how often to recite the bracha of leishev basukkah is a fascinating discussion. Really, the mitzvah of sukkah is teishvu kein toduru, to dwell in the sukkah, just like you would dwell in your house. So if you invite a friend in just to schmooze, or you sit around reading a book in the sukkah, besides sleeping or eating, one would really think that you could recite the bracha of leishev basukkah in all of those applications. There is definitely a leaning towards the approach that we only recite leishev basukkah when we eat in the sukkah, but it's not a foolproof rule. And depending on the case, depending on the different poskim, if a person is dwelling in the sukkah, it might be actually appropriate to say leishev basukkah in certain cases, not necessarily linked to eating. And even in eating, there's discussion, what food am I eating that would require a leishev basukkah? Just coming to mention that when to recite the leishev basukkah, how frequently, if you go out, but you're only grabbing something to come right back in, you would not recite a new leishev basukkah, because there's no hesach hadas. You didn't lose concentration and intent regarding the sukkah. You just walked in to get the salt shaker. That's not going to stop the mitzvah so that it's being restarted and you would make a new bracha. The same bracha that you had before would continue to be in effect. At the end of a line, one line down from where we were, Amar Ravashi, Ravashi taught us, Chazino leil Rav Kana, I've seen Rav Kana, deko omalu luchulu akosa de kidusha, that Rav Kana recited both brachas, the Shehechiyanu of the sukkah and the leishev of the sukkah, when he recited Kiddush on the first night of Sukkis. And the result of this is a fascinating nuance in halacha, which if you are able to and be really adept, it's a fascinating thing that one should try to do accurately. When we recite Kiddush on Yom Tov night, we're reciting Borei Pri HaGefen, on the grape juice or wine. We're reciting Kiddush, sanctifying, stating the sanctification of the day. We're reciting a Leishev Basuka, and we're also reciting what's called Zman, meaning the Shechiyanu, the special time. And the question is the order of the last two brachas. Bore Pri HaGafen and Kiddush, we know the order. Leishev Basuka and Shechiyanu, according to the Mefarshim, are actually supposed to be reversed between the first night as opposed to the second night of Sukkot. What do we mean by that? On the first night, you recite Kiddush, then you recite Leishev Basuka, and then you recite Zman Shechiyanu, because we want the Shechiyanu to be said both on the holiday and on the mitzvah of Sukkah, because this is the first time we're doing the mitzvah of Sukkah, and we want the Shechiyanu to go also on what would have been a bracha on the building of the Sukkah, so we're going to do it on Sukkot the first time we do the mitzvah. So we recite Kiddush so that Yom Tov is up for discussion, and we recite Leishev Basuka so that the Sukkah is up for discussion, and then we recite like the crown on them both, which is Shechiyanu, to recite Shechiyanu both on the day and on the mitzvah of Sukkah. On the second night, however, the way the post can bring it, one should recite Kiddush and then Shechiyanu, because the Shechiyanu is going on the Kiddush. The Shechiyanu is going on the Yom Tov that was described in the Kiddush. And then, afterwards, you would recite the Leishev Basuka for the mitzvah of Sukkah that you're about to do, but there's no longer a Shechiyanu on the mitzvah of Sukkah. The Shechiyanu of the first night was stated regarding the Sukkah itself. Yeshikoach, thank you for joining.